Welcome to What the Bump. My name is Jen.
And I'm Mariana.
We are former labor and delivery nurses who felt called to step away from the bedside after having babies of our own to be full-time birth doulas.
Welcome to our podcast where we talk all things pregnancy, birth, postpartum, and everything in between.
Join us here every Wednesday for a new episode. Welcome to another episode of What the Bump. I am super excited for this episode. We have Taylor who's coming on the podcast to share her birth story, like a lot of your pregnancy story and your postpartum journey. I know bits and pieces of Taylor's story because she actually is Mariana's neighbor slash friend, and Mariana was there with her throughout her pregnancy and birth too. So I'm super excited though to like kind of hear everything and everything that went on and everything that
It was a wild wild ride. So it'll be fun to kind of rehash it. And it's fun and cool to share my story because it is very unique and special. And I think I think you're Christian. I don't know if others, probably a lot of our listeners, or not your listeners are too. but even if not, it's just like cool to share just kind of how the Lord used this situation and turn it around for good. And I'm really grateful to be on the other side of everything and share it with people because I think there's a lot that I can do with what happened and help people. So I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me. And I'm an open book, so I have no problem sharing any of the details of what happened. I'm excited. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, nothing is too much. So feel free to dive in as much as you want. Let's go kind of like from the very beginning. Tell us a little bit in general about who you are, your family, and then we'll kind of get into your pregnancy.
Yeah. So I am from Salisbury, North Carolina, which is like 45 minutes north of Charlotte. I went to Chapel Hill, and when I graduated, I went up to DC and did kind of the whole political scene. I've always loved kids and babysat and nannied for a long time, and always knew that like being a mom was my true, I guess, passion and calling. So I went up to DC and had a great time and did a bunch of cool stuff. But I knew that wasn't going to be my long-term thing. I wasn't going to stay there long-term. I didn't want to, raise kids up there. So I used the convention as an opportunity to move back home to Charlotte. And I met my husband up in DC actually too, through some mutual friends. And I think actually you have her as a client, Mary Claire.
Yeah.
Amsalem. Okay. Yay. Yeah. So that's awesome. She and I were friends through kind of like the Republican political sphere. And then her husband, Yanni, and my husband were roommates in college and best friends. And so through all of that, that's how me and my husband met. And so he was kind of in the same boat. Like he moved up there just because his friends were up there, but he was in the finance sphere. So like DC didn't make a whole lot of sense. He was doing kind of remote work before COVID, before that became like kind of the norm.
You're good.
Got CC down here playing with all sorts of little plugs and stuff. Everything's like covered. She's just like finding that she can pull them out. So.
Oh yeah.
Anyway,
you got a baby proof girl.
Like, I know. Oh, it's baby proofed. She's just, it's like, I got a toddler proof.
You got a CC proof. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She's only 9 months, but the doctor even said yesterday at her appointment, like, oh yeah, you basically have a toddler on your hands.
And I cannot believe you're 9 months postpartum. That's like shocking to me. That seems like I like would give you like 5 months, 9. Oh my gosh. I'm in a time warp.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. But anyway, met my husband through those friends, and he didn't want to be in DC long-term either. So we visited Charlotte like over the holidays, and he got to see Charlotte and meet my family, meet some of my friends, and then was just kind of like, yeah, I'm not going to renew my lease. I'm going to go ahead and move down. And then convention was announced that it was in Charlotte, and I was like, perfect. That's going to be my way to get back home. So it all just kind of worked out and ended up bringing us back here. And, then we moved. So we were in Plaza Midwood at first, and liked that a lot. And then, same kind of thing, like we can't be here long term. Like the houses are ridiculously expensive.
Right.
You also don't have any space. And so again, just kind of like the Lord's hand in all of it, we ended up in this neighborhood, and it's just like, it's the most perfect, like, sweet neighborhood. Everyone is like friends with everyone, and the kids like just ride their bikes around, no worries. They ride it up to the pond and go fishing, like, just so sweet. And so, it was either Mariana or Paige. Anyway, one of them like reached out to me, like stalked me on Instagram and was like, hey, like, you know, we're new moms and like young, you know, young families. We just want to get to know you or whatever. And so I became friends with them that way. So that was great. And kind of how I met Mariana. And it was just like, oh, this is cool. Like, we actually have people that are outgoing and young, and like our neighborhood's kind of 50-50.
Yeah.
Like some really old first generation owners and some younger families coming in, like the second generation. You want to say hi? Look.
Hi. We're talking all about you. No, you guys do have like a beautiful neighborhood.
Thank you. Yeah.
And a fun little, like, you know, you guys have like your little like girl tribe there. Mariana, yeah. Paige, you. It's super, super fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's nice. And it's growing, which is fun too.
Yes.
But anyway, so that was all that. But then on to kind of like the pregnancy side of things. So I've always been like a pretty healthy eater, always been like an athlete, like taking all that stuff pretty seriously. And then started becoming even more aware of like just the toxins in our food, in our products, all that kind of stuff. And was like really trying to cut that out. And then we still were just struggling to get pregnant. And I'm sure it wasn't that long compared to like other people's journeys, but it was just like, okay, something's like off here.
Right.
And so did some testing. My friend, I don't know if you know her, I think Mariana does, Kat Height. She's with Foundations of Functional Medicine up in Huntersville. Mm-hmm. It's her practice. She's like a holistic functional medicine practitioner. Anyway, so we went to high school together and then, you know, didn't keep too much in touch and then reconnected being back in the Charlotte area. And she has this functional wellness program or practice. And so I kind of really dug into like, what's going on with my hormones? What's going on with like my stuff specifically? What do I need to do? And my stuff was really fine, to be honest, which honestly, that's the best case scenario for people that are struggling, I think, with fertility. A lot of times when it's the women's issue, it's a little bit harder. But when it's on the male side, it's all they need to do is find one healthy swimmer and then kind of make it happen. So that worked out really well. So anyway, that was what our issue was. And we got to the bottom of it, but really did start to clean up even more our diets and the products we use and all that kind of stuff. And then we did IVF in March of 2022 and it was successful. And I had, you know, I had like a really easy pregnancy, to be honest. Like I didn't have any morning sickness at all. Like I felt a little nauseous at the beginning, but nothing crazy. Like, especially seeing some of my friends, I think another one of y'all's clients, my friend is one of my best friends from college, Claire.
Mm-hmm.
She had, I forget what that thing is called, but basically, I mean,
hyperemesis.
Yes. She had to get like the IV fluids and stuff just because she was not able to keep anything down and kind of throughout her whole pregnancy. And I was like, yeah, I don't have any advice for you. I didn't experience any of that. I'm sorry. I was really tired my first trimester. Like,
absolutely.
I would get home from church and like literally sleep until 6 p.m. Like just exhausted.
It's like supernatural exhaustion. Oh my gosh.
I was like, what is this? And it's so unlike me because I'm very much like, let's go, let's do this, let's hang out with this person, like blah 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 blah. And I was like, I cannot cook, I cannot do anything. I literally need to just be on the couch asleep. Like I can't. So everything and that, but then that kind of, yeah. And then that are you talking? That went away really in the second trimester. And then I entered third trimester feeling great, like still pretty active. I wasn't doing, like I was riding the Peloton pretty regularly, but nothing like super intense or crazy. So yeah, everything was going great. And then October 17th, coming up on a year here, I'm going to put you down. Coming up on a year. I had a seizure. So anyway, I had on October 17th, it was a Monday. I went to work, everything was normal, came home, had dinner, went to bed, And then had a seizure. And my husband was really obviously freaking out because he experienced this. I had no idea, but he woke, I guess I came to, and he's, you know, okay, what's your doctor's number? Like, da, 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 like thinking it's pregnancy related. And I was like, I don't know. Like, maybe I don't know what you're talking about. I kind of didn't believe him, which is weird. Cause I feel like I don't, in my mind at the moment, I was like, if that had happened, I would have known. Right.
Like, so like you just thought he just woke you up out of your sleep randomly and was like, yes, in your face. And you were like, what are you doing? I was just,
yes.
Okay.
Right.
But he felt, I'm assuming, like you were like convulsing and.
Oh yeah. 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 Full body convulsions, like making weird sound. And that's how it was, like me making a weird sound. And then like, I was, I guess, like shaking. Huh. And I, you know, I've never had a seizure in my life. I've never, don't have epilepsy, like any of that. And so kind of once I like realized like, no, he's not kidding. Like this really happened. Both of us, I think we're like, maybe it's preeclampsia. Cause I know that can kind of happen. That can cause it, I guess. I don't know. But I had like a blood pressure monitor and stuff at the house, and like nothing was out of the ordinary. No, like no other symptoms that are common with preeclampsia. Not that I ruled it out on myself, but I was like, okay, maybe not. But then the ambulance came, and that team like did their little tests, and they're like, yeah, I don't think it is, but we're going to just take you to the ER. So went down to, we were like 5 minutes away from the hospital in Matthews. So we went to Matthews. I rode in the ambulance, and Emiliana followed in the car, and go to the ER. They do some quick tests. And again, they're like, I don't know what's going on, but it's not anything pregnancy related, but so we're going to admit you. So I was admitted, spent the night. They started doing more tests the next day. Emiliana went home to feed our dog and let him out and get some more clothes, cause we knew we were going to be there for a little while. And then, while he was doing that, I had another seizure in my sleep at around the same time, by the way, that I would have been driving home from work. So like, also thank God, like I, you know, literally, like all this time, like any of this time, it could have been happening while I was driving. I wasn't driving, like just so crazy. And my commute, I mean, we live in Matthews. My job is up in North Lake Mall.
Wow. Yeah,
so yeah, I mean, it's 485, like pretty much half, 45 is just a loop. And it's right, pretty much half of it is right from my house to my office. And so just another example of like everything kind of happening in the best case scenario. And so I felt, you know, my husband like felt really bad and was kind of freaking out, and I was like, no, it's okay. Like, how would you have known like that this was going to happen right when you left? And so
did you like get a feeling beforehand, or the nurse was the one, like, did the nurse come in during it?
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, they had just left, and I was taking a nap, and they came back in to like bring something or whatever, and that they like saw that I had another one. And so they told me, and I was just like, okay. And then I don't remember which test they did. It was either an MRI or a CT scan, or maybe both. I don't know. But they couldn't do the dye because I was pregnant. And then they came back in and were like, you know, we did this, and they're like, we did find something, you know, with a very concerned voice. And I was just like, okay. And they're like, you have a brain tumor in your right frontal lobe. Mm-hmm. And then they pulled it up and they were showing me everything on the screen. And I was just like, okay. And the whole time, it's very unlike me. Like, I'm very much like kind of a type A, a little bit neurotic, like panic person. And the whole time I was very much just at peace, like just very much like, okay, like that. Yeah. Okay, now what do we do to solve it?
Well, and hearing you even like telling your story, like I have goosebumps, but you're just like, oh, it was best case scenario. And I'm like, girl, you had a seizure and a brain tumor while pregnant. But you're like, it was best case scenario. And I vividly remember Mariana saw you guys and then called me after. And she was like, I'm more distraught than I feel like Taylor is. Like, yeah. Mariana was like bawling to me on the phone, you know.
Yeah. I didn't even know that.
Oh yeah, she was.
I mean,
so
I knew
upset.
She was like, I knew she was, you know, concerned, but I didn't know she was. I didn't know she was like bawling. Yeah,
she was a hot mess. She was extremely upset, and she was like, Taylor is just, her faith is so strong. She is so strong. Like you just, I don't want to say it like rolled off your shoulders, but like you're saying, like you had so much peace the whole time. And obviously like that comes from the Lord, because most people don't receive that diagnosis while carrying your child at, you know, how many weeks pregnant were you?
33 weeks.
Okay. That's what I thought. And you're just like, yeah, everything will be okay though. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah. No, I mean, and like you said it, and a lot of people were saying it too, like, oh, Taylor's so strong, da da da. But like, I really am not. I mean, I guess I am, but like, it's not me. It wasn't me.
Right.
It's not me. It really was just like a peace from the Lord that right. I don't know how to describe, like a peace that passes
understanding.
Passes all understanding. Like 100%, that's what I experienced. And so the neurosurgeon, Dr. Imbarato, who is freaking fantastic. He's also a believer. So that was like, another cool thing. He came in and was explaining, and he was like, you know, without the dye, I can't, not that I could diagnose it totally with the dye, you would still have to do pathology, but he was like, I can't really get a good read of what kind of tumor this is. I also don't know how fast growing it is, all this stuff. And he was like, but see how it's growing back towards this part. And I was like, yeah. And he goes, if it gets there, we won't be able to remove it all. Not that we won't be able to operate, but we won't be able to remove it completely. He's like, so I want to be aggressive. I would like to do surgery as soon as possible, so that we can get this out even while you're pregnant. Like, I don't want to wait until you deliver to get this done, because I just don't know. And I'm so thankful that he was aggressive and like went with his gut on that, because I think other opinions were maybe we should wait since I was so close, or maybe we should go ahead and do a C-section first. And then, and I was just like, I'm glad everything unfolded the way that it did.
Right.
And so I was like, yeah, let's do it. Like, let's get it done. So then a week later, it was the next Monday, the 24th, I was 34 weeks pregnant, and I went under for brain surgery, and it was my first surgery ever. And I couldn't take anxiety medication, because I was pregnant, and they were, you know, coming in, they were real concerned, like, you know, I'm really sorry, we can't give you anything, like, you know, da da da. And I have, like I said, I've never had surgery before. So the thought anytime beforehand of ever having surgery, like, would send me for a loop. Like, oh my God, I cannot do that. Like, the thought of them cutting me open, like, da da, like, oh, no. And I'm not like grossed out by stuff. Like, I love Grey's Anatomy. Like, I can watch all that stuff, but just like the thought of like cracking bones and stuff like on me would send me for a spiral. And then they were just like, you know, we really can't do anything. And I was like, it's okay, like, it's fine. Mm-hmm. And like, they wheeled me in, I can see the OR and everything very clearly, understand exactly what's about to happen. You know, they're like asking me like, okay, where do you want to be right now? Like, what would you rather be doing than this? And I was like, I'd love to be like hiking in the Tetons. And so I was like, he's like, okay, go there in your mind. I was like, cool. And then just count backwards, and they put me under, and I was like, okay. But they were like, they were making comments like, what the heck? Like, this girl is just totally chill. Like, she's 29 years old, first surgery, first pregnancy, having brain surgery. Like, it's just like all around, like, what, how is she so calm kind of thing. And like, again, it wasn't me. And I also think like the reason that I had that peace, or the reason God gave me that peace, was to like glorify him. Mm-hmm. And people can see that, like, look, like, this is a real thing. Like, God, if you believe in him, you trust in him, like, he will give you peace in these in trying situations. And I say it all the time too. Like, it's much harder. It was easy for me, because I had that peace, but also because like, you're not in, you know, like, what am I going to do? I'm going to worry. Right. Like, what, I can't do anything. Like, right. This is happening. We just need to do what we can do to like fix it.
Yeah.
And go from there.
Right.
My husband was like a total disaster, obviously. And I think if I were in his shoes, I would have probably reacted the same. I think it's a much harder, and you know, like, being a parent, you can kind of relate to that too. Like, when you see things happen to your kid, whatever, whether it be something super scary, like you've been through, or just like bumping their head on the side of the crib, you know, it's like, you feel worse than they really do.
Absolutely.
And so I think that was what, he was experiencing, and, you know, it was rough. But yeah, so the surgery was like a 2-hour surgery, I think. And then it took me a little bit to like wake up, not like anything was wrong, but it just takes a while, obviously, for that to wear off and everything. And so I woke up in the neuro ICU, and my dad tells me the story. I don't remember doing this, but I'm sure it happened. He was like, you're in there, and they came in to check on you and asked you how you were feeling. And you were just like, I'm good, but I kind of have a little headache. He was like, yeah, no shit. Like,
yeah.
That's so funny. But yeah, so anyway, then they did some other tests. They did another MRI without the dye just to, you know, kind of confirm that they got it all. And they did, and I passed the other test, spent the night, did a couple more tests in the morning, and then I went home the next day, which, like, I wasn't worried about or anything. I was like, okay, like, I don't want to be here. I've already been in the hospital for a week. It's not comfortable. Like, I'm ready to go. But it also just kind of, like, thinking back now, it's like, you just had brain surgery and the next day you were discharged. Like, it's kind of crazy.
It is. But it honestly is.
Anyway. So that was that. And then, yeah, that was like a month and a half before her due date. So I was just chilling, like, on medical leave. Getting pretty
yeah,
bored.
Heck yeah, you were on medical leave.
Yeah. Yep. So I was like, I don't know. I took up crocheting for a little bit. I was playing a lot of like Sudoku, doing puzzles, because I deleted my social media because I was like, I can't just sit here and scroll on my phone all day. Like, I feel like I'm getting stupid. Like, it was really bad. And there were a couple days too, like after, where like people were coming to visit me. And I remember, and I texted them afterwards, and I was like, hey, I'm so sorry. Thank you so much for coming. But I know that I wasn't present really with you. Like, and I was just kind of like in my phone. And they're like, no, it's okay. Like, we totally get it. Like, I didn't really notice, but also, you know, it's also very understandable that like, you're not yourself and it's okay. And so, sorry, that was a work text. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing.
You're good.
Yeah, I just was like, let me do some other fun, like, things in the meantime so I don't, like, totally turn to mush. And I was walking, like, my mother and sister-in-law do tell me that like, we went, like, shortly after just for some walks because I was like, I just need to stay, like, somewhat active. And they were like, why are you walking so fast? Like, they came too, and I guess I was, like, power walking. I didn't think so. I think I was just walking my normal pace, but it apparently was pretty fast. And it was just like, just funny things. Like, I was kind of like back to myself in that way, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I felt really great. But just kind of like, okay, what do I do with my time until this baby gets here? Nesting, doing all the normal, like getting ready for baby and all that kind of stuff. And then on December 6th, at like 4:30 in the morning, I started having contractions, and I kept going to the bathroom because I just had to like pee a ton. And Emiliano was like, he kind of knew, and I was like, I think like things are happening. And he's like, well, it could be a week, right? And I was like, no, I don't think it's good, because he was really wanting like the maximum time in there because he really wanted me to be healed.
Yeah.
Before.
How many weeks were you at this point?
39.
Okay. And going,
and I should back up a little bit, because there's some other stuff in there before all of that. So obviously, well, with the IVF and then obviously now this, I had, I was seeing MFM, the maternal fetal medicine. It's like the specialist OB, I guess.
Yep.
And, everything was good, checked out. She was doing fantastic. Obviously didn't have to have a C-section or anything during operation. So that was nice. So we just like monitored her a couple of times with MFM just to make sure everything was good, and it was. And then obviously my normal OB appointments. And so they had like a whole team that was like talking to each other like about all this. And the regular OB team, and I'm not trying to knock on Bradford Clinic because I really, really love them and I really loved my doctor, but I think they were just scared. And so they really were like trying to push me to get induced. They were really trying to push me to schedule a C-section and like all this stuff. And I was just like very, very adamant. Like, this is, I do not want that. Like, I do not want to be induced. I do not want to like have a C-section. And I remember my husband being like, why? Like, I don't understand. Like, wouldn't it be better like to just not put any pressure, any straining on your brain or anything like that? Like, let's just schedule it. Like, I think that'll be safer, da, da, da. And I was like, listen, you think that surgery was hard. I was like, recovering from a C-section will be like, it's impossible. I mean, it's not impossible. Obviously people do it, but I was just like,
you just didn't want it.
I was like, that will be much, much, much more intensive, much worse than this surgery. Because like, I literally won't be able to walk. Like, we live in it's a split level. So I was like, I'm going to have to just be camped out basically in the living room, and you're going to have to help me to the bathroom because our bathrooms are either in our room upstairs or the guest bathroom downstairs. Mm-hmm. There isn't any on like the main level. So I just like, I don't like, I'm telling you, like, it's going to be worse. Like, I just don't want to. And I was like, MFM and Dr. Imbrato, my neurosurgeon, are totally fine with me having like a vaginal delivery. Like, there's no reason. So I told, that's what I was telling the Bradford Clinic, my regular OBs. I was like, get on the phone with Dr. Imbrato, get on the phone with, I forget his name, but the doctor at MFM. They are both fine with this. Like, it is okay. And like, just trust me and trust them. And like, let's just figure this out. Like, I'm not doing this. So, and you know, I was comfortable enough to like advocate for myself in that, but it also helped like having the prenatal meetings with Mariana and like knowing like what I, not what you can and can't say, because obviously you can say whatever, but just kind of like coaching me through
how
like,
to advocate for yourself,
how to act maybe. And like, yeah. And so anyway, I was really, really glad to have her, for a multitude of reasons, but specifically that was super helpful. And so finally everyone was on board, and then December 6th, like 4:30 in the morning, that's when it was like go time, but not like real go time. It was just like, okay,
early go time.
Yeah. And so Emiliano, I remember me like, well, it could be like another week. Right. And I was like, I don't think so, buddy. Like things are happening. I don't know. This is my first time, but like, I think like this is it. He's like, okay. So he works remote. So he was working remote. I'm just like chilling. My sister was living with us at the time. She's like helping me, you know, make food, helping me organize the room. I was watching a bunch of shows and stuff. Went on some walks. Mariana came over, I think like around noon. And she was just like, okay, like you're totally fine. She was like, I'll, you know, if you need anything, holler. I'll be back over later. And I was just like, okay, cool. I was within, what's the 5-1-1 rule? Is that what it's called? Yeah, I was within that like very early on, but like I still felt like everything was fine.
Right.
And so like people from work and like some of my friends were texting and like, can you please go to the hospital? Like, can you just, this is stressing me out. Like, you're going to have the baby on the like living room floor. And I was like, no, I'm not. And also like, it wouldn't be like the worst thing in the world if that is what ended up happening. But like, I'm telling you, it's fine. And so, yeah, Mariana was like, no, you're totally fine. Like, I promise you, like, yes, you're within the 5-1-1 rule, but like, don't, like, you know, I'm tracking on the app and everything. And she was like, you're fine. Like, I'll tell you when you're not fine, basically. And so I had, like, she, one thing that she taught me that I didn't know was like, it's about 2 hours before you can get an epidural type of thing. Like, you know, you have to go through triage, which could take up to an hour or so. And then you have to do a bag of IV fluids before they can do it, which could take an hour. And then also you never know with the anesthesiologist and all that kind of stuff. So I was like, okay, for my first, and especially with everything that happened, I definitely do want the epidural. But I kind of just want to go as long as I can at home before, like, knowing like, okay, I can do this for 2 more hours at this level or worse.
Right.
Before I'm going to get any relief. And so it's kind of what I did. We watched Braveheart, which is like a family favorite movie. I turned on, like, there's actually a funny picture of me like on the birthing ball with the Christmas tree in the background and like texting like whoever, telling them I'm not going to the hospital yet. And then like Braveheart on the TV. It was like really cute. And then I think after that we put on like Pocahontas, which is like my favorite Disney movie. And Mariana came over and she was like, you know, doing all the like positioning and movements and massages. And I mean, you know, this, she can really do like the hip thing really well. I forget.
Hip squeezes. You know what I'm
talking? Yeah. The what?
Hip squeezes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Which was so, so nice. And Emiliano like had been trained how to do all that stuff too. And like, he would help too, but it was just nice to kind of have two hands and yeah. Anyway. So we did that. And then I got in the shower some, and we moved up to my room to like be a little more comfortable. And then after I took a shower, I felt a little bit better. And then I think we like hung out in the bedroom for a little bit longer. And then I was just like, okay, like, it's not terrible. Like, I'm okay. But I was like, I think I want to go in. And she's like, okay, like, if you want to go in, that's totally fine. She's like, you're fine. Like, you're not like, I don't think, she never checked me, but she was also just like, I can tell like, you're okay.
Like, you have time, but if you want to go, that's okay.
Yeah. And so then We went, we were in triage for like maybe like 45 minutes, maybe an hour or so. I threw up just because, which I wasn't expecting that. One of my friends told me that she did, and I was like, there must have been something weird there. But then, and especially because like I wasn't nauseous
right
at all throughout really my whole pregnancy. And so then I threw up and I was like, oh my gosh, what's happening? And I felt really bad and I'm like, no, this is normal. And then I want to say I was like 4 or maybe 5 centimeters when they admitted me. And then which that was my least favorite part, was just the checking at that point. It's just so freaking uncomfortable.
Yes.
The checks before, like when you're just like waiting, like when you go to the doctor, I didn't mind. I know some people just say like, no, there's no need to check me. Like you can wait and whatever. I don't really care. It's not like it matters one way or the other. I know at that point, but it didn't bother me then. It was when I was in triage that I was like, oh no, yeah. I was like, this is not fun. And so I was admitted and I really, really love the Matthews Women's Center. I don't know how it is at some of the other hospitals, but the Matthews one is so nice and new. And like, you stay in the same room. Like once you're admitted, that's it. That's your hotel room for this stay, you know? And so I just really liked it. And then shortly after I did the IV and everything to get me ready for an epidural, and then came in and did the epidural, which I was very nervous about the epidural itself, but it was not bad at all. Like
people like over dramatize it, or I don't know if that's a word, but you know what I mean?
Dramatize.
Dramatize it. And then every time somebody gets an epidural, they're like, oh, that like wasn't, and I'm like, no, like I love unmedicated birth. And I think epidurals are also great for people who want them, yeah. But like a contraction is more painful than an epidural. So when people are like, I'm afraid of the epidural, I'm like, well, the contractions, you know, yeah, they're more intense than an epidural is. So, yeah.
Well, and they numb the area before they put that in there, put the needle. I think that was what I was really afraid of, was like, yeah, the actual needle, like, oh my God, this is going in my spine. Like that's gotta be a long needle, like all of that, but you don't see it ever. One, two, they numb it before.
Mm-hmm.
So you really don't feel, I mean, you feel like, at least I did, I just kind of felt pressure, but I didn't feel like pain.
Yeah.
And you have that good, like, you know,
posture,
posture, like make sure, you know, and you're good to
and
go.
It's so quick. It's so quick.
So quick. And then they're done. You're like, okay, we're good. Yeah. And I did it. I don't know. Cause it's funny. Like a lot of my friends before and after were like, yeah, once I got that epidural, I didn't feel a thing. Like they had to tell me to push and stuff. And I was like, really? Like that sounds kind of crazy or weird before. And then after I had my own, I was like, I didn't have it like that. And so I think I had a low dose, and I think I actually wanted that. I had a low dose epidural. Is that a thing that they do?
No, not necessarily. So maybe if you guys asked for them to start
with
a
lower
dose, normally anesthesia really doesn't like to do that though. So you probably would have had to like push hard for it. They could have, sometimes though, everybody is different. So sometimes people get epidurals and depending on exactly where it's placed, exactly the medication, the exact person, their metabolism, some people get epidurals and they are like dead numb, like unable to move their legs. Mm-hmm. Other people get epidurals and I could swear they could get up and walk. And then other people get
epidurals. I think I could have walked. I didn't, but I think I could have.
Yeah. And then other people get epidurals and they get total pain relief. Some people kind of get like that half. And some people like will get an epidural and it really, you know, it's called a failed epidural where it really doesn't work well. So I would say there's
that's
a wide
what's
range.
That's happened to Mary Claire, I think, twice now. And so I think she's like, I'm not doing it.
Yeah. So I think that there's like a good range, yeah, of how it affects that. Everybody differently.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. So mine was fantastic. It did at first. I feel like I only felt it really on the right side, but I could still feel like things happening on the left side, mm-hmm, which he said could happen. And so like, I kind of like, they positioned me different, I guess, to try to like get it to, yes, kind of go through on the other side, which was interesting, but I was able to sleep, which was really nice, mm-hmm, and rest. And I still felt like I could feel things, but I wasn't in so much pain.
Right.
And then in the morning, like Mariana went home to sleep and then came back, because obviously she lives just right there too. She came back and she was like, how's it going? Da, da, da. Like things are kind of picking up and a little more intense. Because again, I could feel things happening, but I wasn't like in a lot of pain.
Right.
And then I was like on the back, like, so I was definitely still moving. Like they were still doing different things. I wasn't up out of the bed ever, but I was like turning and
all different
stuff. And I was able to do that totally fine. Like I could feel that and do it. I didn't necessarily need help like lifting my like dead weight of a leg, you know? And so I was like over the back side of the bed and, just kind of moving around. And, I just felt this like big, like, ball, like almost like a water balloon basically. And I was like, something just happened, like, is she here, like, I don't know, like, kind of thing. And they're like, no. And then Mariana was like, oh, that was your water, it just broke. And I was like, oh wow, I was not expecting it to feel that like to feel like that, because I always just thought it was either like a trickle or like a big like whoosh.
Yeah,
that wasn't real mine. I don't know if it came out intact, like I'm still unsure, but it just felt like a ball.
Huh,
it's strange.
Well, it didn't come out intact because it surrounds your baby. So it would have popped.
Oh.
But maybe sometimes people will feel it like come into the vagina and that makes it feel like a bulging ball and then it will kind of pop.
Maybe that's what happened.
Yeah, maybe.
Huh. But I didn't necessarily feel like, maybe it was because like I wasn't, my legs weren't like closed together. I didn't feel like necessarily any like wetness. It was it was weird. I don't know. It was the weirdest thing. But then that's when Marianne was like, yeah. And so she's like, hey, you need to come in here. Like her water just broke. So then they came in and, I mean, it took a while. I mean, I guess for your first, maybe not, I don't know. Like I didn't feel exhausted or anything by it, but I feel like it was a decent amount of time, but not too much either. I want to say it was like an hour 15 that I was pushing.
Okay.
Hour 15. And I could feel this too, where like she would be really close and like make good progress. And then she like scoot back up and I'm like, come on. Like, it's like, can you please? And so it was funny too. They were like, I did have the monitors on, which I was fine with. I didn't ask them to take it off. I think maybe next time I will, but I didn't, just because I was just with everything that happened. I was like, it's okay. I'm good with wearing the monitors just to know like where we're at with everything. But it was funny. I liked my labor and delivery nurse really. I forget her name, but she was great. But it was funny. She would be like, okay, no, not yet. Like just save up some energy before, like once you like hit the peak, then go. And I never said this to her, but like in my mind, I'm like, I can still feel things. Like I know, like, you know what I mean? Like yeah. I know intuitively when it's time to do it. Like I'm not making myself exhausted, I promise. But anyway, so then at 10:58 a.m. on December 7th, we had a baby.
That's awesome.
A little chunk. And she was 8 pounds, 2 ounces, 21 inches long.
Wow.
And she was super healthy and great. And we were just so thankful. And then she had a little jaundice. So she had to do the French fry warmer light thing. And we had to stay an extra day. But yeah.
That's
no,
awesome.
We had delayed cord clamping, no problems there. We didn't do the vitamin K shots. Like we, like all of the stuff that like, I think, and I'm sure other places it is like that. All the stuff that I was like afraid of, that I was really going to have to fight, you know, my doctors on and everything. Everyone was great. They understood. Yeah. They're super respectful. And it was like really nice. And like, I had my plan going into it. And I'm not saying everything happened exactly according to plan necessarily, but like for the most part, it kind of did. And I'm not saying that to brag.
Yeah.
Because I know not
everyone
has.
You went through a lot. You deserve it.
I went through a lot. And it was just like, I think that was also like kind of like a kindness of the Lord to like, okay, yeah, this is what you wouldn't want. And like, this is what you get kind of thing.
Everything you went through in your pregnancy, you deserve a smooth,
it was
beautiful
a smooth,
birth.
It was very, very great. And so grateful. And like Mariana was so fantastic. And I'm so happy that she was there to like help and,
yeah,
you know, kind of coach us through it. But yeah, she's good. And then
what was postpartum like?
So the first, well, let me tell you this quick story real quick. So Emiliano, right before, or right in the middle of pushing, or like right at the beginning, I guess, he goes, oh, do you think like I have time to like go grab a snack? He was hungry.
Oh my God. I think I knew that. I feel like Mariana told me this.
Yes. Oh, I'm sure she has. Cause she like will never forget, and neither will I, and we'll never let Emiliana forget. Like, it's so hilarious. And so they were like, maybe not now. Like maybe you should wait a little bit. Cause you never know like when it's going to happen. So, okay. So obviously
the innocence super, of men in labor.
I know, their wives I know. Are in labor. So he did fantastic the whole time. He was just like praying that nothing happened with my brain, and he did really well. But then like obviously he was starving. So then she's here and he's just soaking it all in and everything's great. And then he goes, okay, I'm gonna go grab something to eat real quick. I'm like, okay. Obviously I'm freaking starving.
Oh right? Yeah, I know this part too.
So then he comes back and he goes, like, oh man, I really needed that. And I was like, oh, okay, good. I was like, what'd you get for me? And he's like, oh, I didn't get you anything. I'm sorry. Did you want something? I was like, what? Like, are you kidding me? I just got your first child. Like, what? And so I was like, no, I'll go get something. So he went back down, which is sweet. And it was funny because I was like, all I want is just fresh fruit. Like, I just want, like, some cantaloupe and strawberries. Did the hospital have fresh fruit?
And if they did, it was probably like unripe, nasty.
Yeah, no, it was like the one thing they had. The two things they had was like an old pear and saran wrap and like, I think an orange. And I was like, I don't even want either of those anyway. Like that wasn't the fruit I was craving, but I especially don't want like this type.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was funny, but that cracks me up like every time, like Emiliano, oh my gosh, like what?
He was like so hungry. He was like one track mind. All he could think about was getting something in his stomach ASAP.
Yeah. And he like, I guess like had a great meal down. Like he didn't bring it back to eat either. He ate alone in the cafeteria, came back and was like, I really needed that. I'm like, oh, did you?
That is hilarious. I can't.
So anyway, we made it through all of that. Had to stay an extra day because of the jaundice, which I guess I probably could have fought on, but I was like, I'm not really in a rush to go home either. Like, this is kind of nice being taken care of and like in this way. So that was good. And then we went home on the 11th. And then my mother-in-law got there like the evening of the 11th or maybe the 12th, because the 12th was the due date. And so she was here and then she was with us for a month, which was such a big help, such a blessing. And like, honestly could not have done that without her being there. Like just so, so nice. And then it was Christmas. And so we had Christmas at our house and everyone came over for that and like getting to love up on Cece, which was sweet. And so everything was good. And like, I was feeling great. I thought I was like, in the clear. I'm not going to have any postpartum issues. It's going to be awesome. I love being a mom. Like, yeah, I'm sleep deprived, but it's going to be cool. And that, like, I was like that for like the first 2 months. So the first month I had my mother-in-law here, which was a big help. And I think you're also kind of riding that like postpartum high.
Totally.
The adrenaline and everything is like in and you're just like totally good. And then the second month I was good too. And then like almost 2 months to the date, I remember I was at church and I was sitting by my friend Elisa, who just had her second daughter yesterday, which is exciting. I was sitting next to her and we were talking. Everything was fine, just like a normal conversation. And then I remember texting her in the car and I was like, hey, I'm really sorry. Like, I felt like I was super awkward talking to you. Like, I'm sorry if I like seemed weird. Like, I don't know what that was about. And she's like, I didn't notice anything, but I think you're, you know, it's all good. And I said it to Emiliano, I was like, something seems weird. Like, I just felt really awkward talking to Elisa. He's like, I think you're fine. Like, don't overthink it, whatever, whatever. And then that just kind of kept happening in conversations where like, I just did not know how to talk to people. Like, I would like forget what to say kind of, and not know how to relate and just kind of retreating into myself. And like, I am a very extroverted person. Like I feed off of like interactions with other people, even if I don't know them. Like I love meeting people. I love talking to people. I need to be around people. And I just was like, I have anxiety now just being around people because I don't know what to say to them. Like even some of my best friends, like I don't know what to do. Like I just feel really odd. And like, I would still keep going to things because like, I knew like, that's what I want to do. And I knew like I needed it and I would still bring Cece. It wasn't like I like had any resentment towards her or anything like that. It was just this like weird, like awkwardness that I felt. And then it really turned into a lot of apathy where I was just like, I can't get out of bed today. Like, I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to go do anything. Like, I don't want to cook. Like, I can't clean. I don't care if everything piles up. Like, I just cannot do anything. And so that was like really bad and dark. I want to say for like 4 months, which I know people have had like darker experiences. I know people have struggled with it longer than that. So I do recognize that I'm pretty fortunate in like the severity and length of my postpartum depression and anxiety, because I definitely also had the anxiety piece of like, oh my God, I fell asleep with her in bed. Like, I'm going to suffocate her, mm-hmm. like while I was nursing her, you know, that kind of thing. Like, or, oh my gosh, for some reason, I don't know why, but like now I'm like convinced she's not getting enough milk and she's going to die, like failure to thrive. Or like just like whatever random intrusive thought that you could have, I was having. Mm. So there was that. And then there was also this like apathy towards just like living life, really. And so I am very much like a natural, like holistic type of person. Obviously, I know I had an epidural and a hospital birth, so I'm not like all the way on some of the things. Not that I'm like judging people that do that. I think that's great. And like, I would love to have like the strength to do that maybe one day, but I think for my first one and even probably my next one, I'll probably do it just because I had a good experience. But anyway, so I was like, I don't want to get on medication. Like, I really don't want to. And I reached out to my OB and was just explaining like kind of what's going on to him. And he, fortunately, because I do think a lot of doctors, their first thing is like, let's just push that pill. Right. Like, what's going to make you feel better right now? Let's just get it done. And he was not that way. Dr. Reynolds at the Bradford Clinic, he was like, you know, I think that it'll be good for you to see a postpartum therapist and like try that for a while. And if you still don't feel like anything's improved, sorry. Hold on, let me let him out of the room real quick. Trash people. Anyway, Dr. Reynolds was just like, try postpartum therapy first. I've got a couple that are mine that take insurance. And if that doesn't work, let her know and we can revisit and maybe then you can go on medication if you want to. And so I started talking with her and I noticed like there were definitely some things we never really got into. She was great. Her name is Dr. Christine Elliott. And she did a really good job with me. And I also wasn't going probably as often as I should, but we never got like totally into like, here are some things to do. Like there, I don't know. I never felt like we got totally into like a treatment plan, but it was just helpful to talk to someone and like recognize that like, this is normal. Like a lot of people feel this way and like, you're not alone, which I also did know that, but when you're experiencing it yourself, especially cause like, I thought like, this is the thing I didn't know. I thought like, oh, if you make it to this point, you're fine. And like the fact that it hit me late in my mind just took me by surprise. And so she was just really good and great person, great resource to have. And then, you know, it wasn't just like the depression myself, but like that also fed into like issues in my marriage, like issues in my relationship. And that also just becoming a parent, like, I don't care how solid your marriage is. Like, it is going to change things. It is going to be rough. Like, that just is what it is. And if someone says like, that's not the case, they're lying. In my opinion, or maybe, I don't know. Maybe everyone just has different things, but like, it is rough. Like,
yeah,
you guys can love this child so much. You can love your new life together as a family so much, but it is a new element that like, it's going to rock and you guys are going to have to like figure out how to be this new unit. Cause it's never going to be the same mm-hmm. as it was before.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't prepared for that either. Cause I was like, well, we just went through the hardest thing ever, like with a brain tumor. How, like, what else could possibly be harder than that? Like, how could we ever struggle? And like, let me tell you, it was rough.
Yeah.
I agree with that. So anyway, it was great to do the therapy. And I felt a lot of relief from that. And then eventually I just started, I don't know, like I didn't do anything except for pray and talk to my friends and talk to my therapist about this. Then it just kind of went away. And like, I remember I had my last therapy session with her and she's like, what do you want to get out of this anymore? And I was just like, I don't know. And she's like, I mean, I'm happy to keep doing it. But she was like, I really think that you're good. Like, I'm happy to discharge you. And she's like, obviously you have my number if you ever want to pick back up. Like, I'm always happy to, but I think you're okay. Like, I think you've made it through this. And so that was really good. And then my mother-in-law, this was a huge help too. My mother-in-law moved in the middle of June. She retired. She was a special ed teacher down in Miami for the longest time. And so she retired and moved in with us in the middle of June. And that just made like the world of difference, like just total game changer, best thing. I'm so fortunate that I have like this amazing mother-in-law that I get along with. And like, she's not trying to tell me how to parent, but she's just super helpful. And like, meals are made and dishes are cleaned and laundry is done and baby's taken care of. And it's not just her, like but she and I are like doing that together.
Yeah.
And like, I think a lot of other cultures, that is like very much the norm, maybe not the mother-in-law necessarily, but like some sort of help, like it's built into how you do this. And we just don't have that here in America. And like, you're left to figure it out on your own. And like,
it's exhausting.
It's exhausting and it just sets you up for failure. It really does. And like, I remember comparing myself to other friends that were moms and like, even my own, like, you know, my own mom and my own family. I'm like, how the hell did they do it? Like, they didn't need other help. Like, they weren't depressed. Like, how? I don't understand. But the thing is like, you never know that for sure, honestly, unless they tell you otherwise. And then you have to give yourself grace of like, you know, I went back to work. I was remote and I still am because of my medical situation, but I'll be going back at the end of next month once I'm a year out and clear to drive and do all that stuff. But, you know, I went back to work after 12 weeks. I could have taken longer if I wanted to, but I was like, no, it's okay. I'll come back in. And that was so incredibly difficult, even though I was remote. Like, imagine people that have to like actually leave their kid. I can't imagine that. Yeah. So, you know, comparing to other people when they were stay-at-home moms and like, it's just different. Like everyone's journey is different and the comparison is just so unfair. Even if no one's comparing you, you know, even if it's just pressure you're putting on yourself, which I feel like a lot of times that is the case. Like, it's just really unfair to do because everyone's situation is completely different.
Yeah, it is hard. You know, there's a really good book that I'm blanking on the name of right now, but it's about how like basically in other countries, moms are so much happier and healthier and their children are thriving more. And when they study it, it's because they're not in these like single unit households and families. They're with grandparents and cousins and aunts and uncles. And there's so many people pouring into the children, not only diversifying them and their knowledge and the things that they learn and their attitude and behaviors, but there's so many people helping the family. Mm-hmm. And now in the US, you know, at least I can tell you, like, motherhood is exhausting. I love it, but we have no family in the area. It's me, my husband, and our two children. And I would be lying if I didn't tell you that I'm up till 10 o'clock every night, you know, running around like crazy after my kids are down, trying to do laundry and dishes and any other like house projects or work even. Like, it's really hard because I have literally zero help. And it is exhausting. And sometimes my dad or my sister or my husband's grandma is great. You know, they'll come and stay with us for a week. And I'm like, oh my God, this feels like a vacation just to have somebody to help with my kids a little bit or throw a load of laundry in or vacuum. Like, it is incredible. And it's wrong almost that we don't have that all the time because that's how it should be. And that's how life used to be lived, but it's not anymore. And it's why moms are tired and burnt out. And you hear a lot about just so much burnout among mothers.
Totally. And like, you know, that though, I know that's true. And I know that's the case for most moms and most parents. But like, you don't always see that, you know, like you see the happy and like the good. And then you're like, well, shit, but they don't have any help. Like, why do I need help? And it's like, No, you don't know. Like, they probably are struggling too. And like, they probably, like, you're keeping everything together and you're working and getting the dishes done and all that kind of stuff. But like you said, like, you're freaking exhausted, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, you would love to have that help.
Yeah.
And like, I almost felt guilty at first for needing help. And I was like, why am I not able to do it all? Like, right. Why am I not like, and that's just like, I don't know, like, I don't want to curse. So I'll try. It's just a sucky feeling to like be down on yourself about that when it's like, you know, this is a big deal, what you just did and what you're going through. And like, right. You can't do it all yourself. Like, you can't be completely happy, completely rested, great at your job, a great mom, the house totally in order and spotless. Like, it's just not, it's just like, give yourself some grace. It's just right. Not possible. And that's okay to admit that it's not possible.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it took me a while. I'm like my hardest critic. And so it took me a while to like get there. But now my mother-in-law's here and it's such a blessing and like such a, you know, huge weight off my shoulders and help. And I feel like I'm able to like really pour into things that make me happy and make me me and give me passion. Not that being a mom doesn't, it's just, I'm able to like be the best mom that I can be. And I'm able to be a good employee and I'm able to, you know, do this podcast to talk about my story and hopefully help other moms and other women that are hoping to become moms or, you know, whoever listens to this, help them through my story and my testimony and hopefully glorify God in the process. I don't know. Like, that's just kind of when all of this happened and I made it to the other side, I knew like, okay, this happened for a reason and I'm supposed to do some sort of good with this, but I don't know what it is. And it's just been in the last like month or so that I've realized that like, there's so many cool avenues to share my story and reach people. Like I thought, oh, I need to write a book. And it's like, well, it's like, I mean, you can, but like, you don't have to do that. So, it's cool that you have this podcast and I was able to come on here and share. It's, cool to have the ability to share stuff on social media. And it's just like, there's so much out there, today and so many avenues to do this very easily without having to spend a bunch of money or whatever and get your story out there and help people. And it's just, I'm pumped to be able to do that. And like a lot of that credit goes to having my mother-in-law here that helps me to be able to like, you know, I don't feel like I'm being a bad mom at all. Like I'm able to do other things
yeah.
And it's value added, the other things that I'm doing. But I am also able to be like this present mom too. So,
so
really cool and really fun. And I'll shamelessly plug, I guess, that I did start about a month ago, my own little like website/holistic healthy living, account on Instagram called Holy Taylor, not holy, like H-O-L-Y, but holy, like holistic or holistic, I think is H too, but whatever, you know what I mean? Like WHOLLY.Taylor on Instagram. And so it's just kind of everything. Like I share my story. I share like good products that I like. I share, good foods that I like. Like I just found this good hummus. That's a Charlotte based company that I love. It's called Hummus Foods. And I'll be sharing more about that too. Cause like, it's seriously the best hummus I've ever had. I'm not kidding. And I'm not even a hummus fan, but it's so freaking tasty. And I found them at a farmer's market in Shelby, North Carolina. And then realized after the fact that they're actually based here in Charlotte. And I just like, basically what I'm saying to you right now, I did like a little video, like just saying like, hey guys, like this hummus is so freaking bomb. You have to try it. And then they reached out to me and they're like, hey, we want to partner with you. Like, would you be down? So I need to actually release my video of like, I'm partnering with them. I need to do that. But it's just funny because it's like, I didn't start doing this to become like an influencer or to like make money off of it or like to get partnerships with brands. I just did it because there's a need and a want out there, I think, in this space. And I obviously am on like a super healthy living kick after everything that happened. So I just think there's like so much there for me to share. And it's just cool how it's like kind of turning into something bigger than I ever would have thought. So
yeah,
I'm, you can come in.
That's awesome.
So well, I'm really excited.
Yes. Well, I can put that like down in the show note description so people can find it and follow you. Perfect. Thank you so much for coming on, for sharing your story start to finish. I'm so glad I got to kind of hear it and every single thing that happened along the way. My one last question for, if you could give like a quick piece of advice after everything you've been through, pregnancy, birth, postpartum, what would that be?
Well, it's kind of a two-parter. One would be to trust in the Lord because his plans are good and he will turn the seemingly like awful thing into something good.
Yep.
And kind of like, I guess a 1A would be to give yourself a lot of grace and not be hard on yourself, and recognize that you're doing the best you can. And that's the best that anyone, that's all that can be expected of you.
Right.
So just show up in whatever capacity that is. And that's good enough. So.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Taylor.
Of course. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to another episode of What the Bump. Make sure to follow us over on Instagram at whatthebumpclt. Check out our website, whatthebumpclt.com. Make sure to leave a review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or whatever platform you are listening on. And tune in every Monday at 9 a.m. for a new episode. Remember that this podcast is for educational purposes only. I will see you next week in the next episode.